Welcome to the Game AFL Podcast, a weekly hit of the best football analysis from the West Australian and the Sunday Times, where the footy never stops. This is the game.
Well, hello, listeners. Welcome to this week's edition of Your Football Quaddy, Quarters and Duff. Glenn Quatermain, the sports editor of the Sunday Times. Good afternoon to you, Glenn.
Afternoon, Duff. Congratulations on picking 9 from 9.
I did, and the bloody computer only gave me credit for 8 quarters, so I'm not real happy.
That's what they all say, mate. Better than me, though. I've got my pants around my ankles. I got 6. I went for a couple of roughies of the first 3 games, and I was none from 3, but I'll pick the next 6.
So. I'm a very conservative tipper, Quarters, and you'll realise this as the season goes on, but I was very disappointed to get 4 the first week, and so I was keen to re-stabilise my season by going for the fancied teams. I'm Mark Duffield. I'm the senior football writer at the West Australian, and Quarters, as West Australians, we probably have to start this week's edition with the bad news, and the bad news is Fremantle.
Well, it's very depressing, and I mean, do we go back to the days of the early 2000s? It's you look at it, and I don't even know if there's light at the end of the tunnel, mate. It's like an old man with a roll your own, and it's just blowing out very rapidly.
I used to work in shearing sheds when the shearers used to light a roll your own, and it would go out. They'd dangle it on their bottom lip. It would go out, and then after about 2 sheep, they'd relight it, and then it'd go out again, and after about another 2 sheep, it'd last half a run, I reckon.
Well, what a great metaphor, because to me, that sums up Freo at the moment, mate. Yeah. I reckon I could get a game, even with my small hands.
I don't think so. We've just been kicking a ball around down at Leaderville Oval, and you wouldn't get a game. But look, there's an adage in football, it's never as good or as bad as you think. I don't think it's quite as bad as people think at Fremantle, but there are steps that need to be taken. Quarters, what 3 words would you sum up the steps with? Because I think I know what you're about to say.
Fresh new talent, mate. That's what I'd say. I would now put the queue in the rat, because I can't see, certainly the 8's out of the question at this stage. I think you just play kids. Now, whether you rate some of the kids or not, I don't think it matters. They're on your list. You've got to expose them. Play them now. Give them 19 rounds to make their mistakes, to get used to the tempo. I would play them, and I'd play them all, and I'd give them a go.
Yep, I was a little bit surprised with the way they went a couple of ways before the round one clash against Geelong. I was very surprised that they went the same way for round two, unchanged team. I can kind of understand what they're trying to do. They were saying, okay, here's your right of response for a poor performance against Geelong. Either deliver or else. Well, now it's the or else. And you're right. The 3 words I was thinking of was play the kids. So Zach Dawson, I would believe, if his career is not over, it's only one farewell match away from being over. Sam Collins has been in really good form in the Waffle. I saw him play against East Perth in round one of the Waffle. I think he has earned a spot, and I think the thing about Sam Collins is that he's probably already as good a player as Zach Dawson is, and he might get better because he's 22.
Well, the turnovers in the first quarter, really, it gave Port just that momentum that they really never should have given them, because they were probably always going to win the game. But when you give them a head start like that, it's going to get ugly. And it's just those – and your column earlier in the week was spot on. It's now the skill errors are fundamentally below AFL standard at the moment. And yep, that's something they have to address. It's not working.
No, it isn't. So I think we're agreed on Zach. Which other older players do you think are the ones in the gun?
Look, I would Daniel Pearce has been a good servant, played his 250th at the weekend, so congratulations on that. Didn't do a lot against his old side. I would look at him. Michael Johnson, I think we've seen the best of Michael Johnson. It was a great intercept marker. I'm not sure if he's doing enough of that these days. Look, I'd even look at maybe a Subin. I'm probably a bit too early to... Shane Kirsten, I'd probably give another maybe week or two. I would persevere with McCarthy, even though he's got a long way to go. He hasn't played much footy in the last couple of years, and I think he does manage to find the footy most weeks. So I'd stick with him, stick with Kirsten. I'd stick with him long term, stick with Kirsten for a week or two. But those other older players, I think I'd be punting them, and I'd be giving the kids a chance.
So what about Griffin? Can you go with 2 big lumbering cumbersome ruckmen, or do you bring in Matt Taberner as your forward ruckman and send Johnny Griffin back to the Waffle?
Well, I would bring in Matt Taberner as your forward ruckman, definitely. They need something else in attack, at least a third tall down there. I would definitely go with him. And look, there are... I know the jury's still out on Harley Ballack. He's still a kid. The jury's out whether he's, kicking needs some work as well. But look, you've got to play them. play them and have a look at where funny things happen when you get when you're challenged. And I'd just like to see them challenged and see what they can produce.
One kid I'd love to see them play. He played one game last year. He played a game, I think, in 2015 when they rested a lot of players. Brady Gray. I know he has kicking issues, which is hardly what Fremantle people want to hear after what they've seen in the first two rounds. But he is, I think, pound for pound, their fiercest competitor. I think he's an unbelievable tackler with unbelievable closing speed. And if they're looking for a small forward presence while Hayden Ballantyne is out, I think he is a guy that could make opposition defenders really look around. I hope they play him. I hope they play Bellick. I hope they play Sam Collins. And I hope they play Matt Taberner. And I hope they play Ethan Hughes. So I'm talking about five or six changes.
No Griffin Logue yet?
If they play Griffin Logue, I won't be unhappy about it. But I don't think it's going to hurt Griffin to play six or seven games in the waffle and really get momentum and be sure of himself. Sometimes he gets a little bit lost as to where he is. While the game's in front of him, he looks really good. He's really athletic. He's a strong competitor, superb specimen of a boy. But, it won't hurt him to have run around in the waffle for another four or five games.
Stay ahead of the pack with the latest footy news, expert tips and in-depth analysis from WA's leading football writers in the pre-game lift-out every week in the West Australian.
Now on to the Eagles, Duff. Very lucky to escape the weekend with a win against St Kilda. Just throwing forward a little bit, they've got a five-day break after the game against Richmond at the G on Saturday, playing Sydney the following week. Now, do they rest Sam Mitchell? Or do they need him with his experience and guile and just ability to settle down his teammates on the MCG?
I play Sam against Richmond.
Yep, so would I.
Use his MCG experience. And if he doesn't come up after 5 days, I would back myself to get the Chockies against Sydney without him. Don't forget, Sydney aren't going real flash. Isaac Heaney's still battling glandular fever. They've got a couple of other injuries. Tippett's got an ankle problem now. They're winless from two, so they've got a big game coming up against Collingwood this weekend. I would be inclined to play Sam and probably rest him for the Subiaco game.
Plus, they'll have to play against the 23rd opponent, the noise of affirmation.
The affirmation noise, yes. I did the stats, you know, and we will run these later in the week. The interesting thing, which your mates, the Victorians, never come up with, is that our teams have a similar disadvantage when they go east. Yes, there is no doubt crowd noise plays a role in free kicks. Interestingly, with the two Western Derbies last year, West Coast won the free kick count when it was their home derby. Fremantle won the free kick count when it was their home derby. West Coast gets about 55% of the free kicks at Subiaco and about 45% of the free kicks when they play away. And Fremantle is probably a little bit hard done by. They get about 45% when they play away and about 53% when they play at Subi.
You know, it was interesting listening to Jordan Lewis talk the other night. We'll get onto him in a moment for another reason. But he was talking about home ground advantages and how he'd love to play for a team with a distinct home ground advantage. At the Melbourne, it tends to be a little bit more balanced.
But they're very civilised, the Melbourne people.
Well, they are.
Unlike their players now.
That's right. But he said it was almost scary playing here at times, particularly if the Eagles or the Dockers got ahead early. That's why you have to neutralise it by trying to get on the board early over here. But he said it was quite scary playing over here. Interesting. But Melbourne and Jordan Lewis in particular, are they trying to manufacture angry, Duff?
Well, I think you think they are. What I would say is that woeful lack of discipline by two very important players. And it'll be interesting to see at the end of the season what this adds up to. Melbourne, we think, I know I've got them sort of vying for one of those last two spots in the eight. I suspect you would have too. They've got big games to come up over the next two or three weeks, and they would really love to have Jesse Hogan and Jordan Lewis out there. And quarters, the most disappointing thing for me in both the incidents, neither of them are at the ball. You know, like if Zach Jones gets rubbed out, for example, Sydney Zach Jones, for his hit in midair on Travis Cloke, and I thought he should have been rubbed out, he got fined, but if he gets rubbed out, you can at least argue that that's at the ball. And same with Proust, the big North Melbourne ruckman. You know, it's in a marking contest, very ordinary effort at a marking contest, but still around the ball. But these two incidents off the ball, unnecessary, Just all they could lead to was trouble. And are they trying to manufacture aggression? Maybe they are. I would have thought Lewis knows better than that.
Yeah, interesting his comments when he would not apologise, even though he fronted the group and said, look, it's not ideal that I'm not there for 3 weeks. But he said, I won't apologise. So I think they're trying to manufacture a bit of aggression and try and show, look, we can play, we've got the skill level, we've got the depth now, but we need that bit of aggression, that little X factor that just separates teams. The one we didn't mention was Scott Thompson. See, I thought...
2 weeks.
I thought it was a dog act.
Yep, absolutely.
Very ordinary act. But putting your elbow into someone's head when they're just completely defenceless, I just think it's wrong and they should throw the book at him.
It's a convenient way to try and put a serious dent in the game of a serious footballer, arguably the best player in the competition, in Paddy Dangerfield. I agree. I thought it was 3-2. I think he got 2-1. And I thought Zach Jones should have got weeks. I thought that...
It's a big hit.
And he didn't have eyes on the ball. And basically, I'm not sure how the wording on this has changed, but the old charging rule was if you take your eye off the ball and you choose to bump rather than choosing to contest the mark, that is a charge. And that is an act that will get you A, reported, and B, suspended. I thought he should have been suspended. He was bloody lucky that Travis Cloak has a head like a house brick and got up, because if Travis Cloak lays down and stays down, that's 3 weeks.
For the most in-depth analysis on whether big matches were won and lost, get the game lift out every Monday in the West Australian.
Into round 3, Duff, because for the Friday night game is Sydney v Collingwood, and I suppose we should take a moment to pause and reflect on the career of Buddy Franklin, who plays game 2. 50. I saw his first game playing for the Hawks at the MCG, this big gangly emu, and just to look at what he's done. Have we seen better players in the forward line? Yep. But have we seen more athletic players in the forward line? I suggest not.
No, he's unique, isn't he? I actually saw Buddy play for the first time in a school match. I went and watched Wesley play Hale. Mitch Morton was playing for Hale and Buddy was playing for Wesley. My nephew was actually playing for Wesley, Ryan Duffield, who went on to be a first-class cricketer. But it was like Morton and Franklin were playing a different sport to any of the other kids out there. It was fascinating to watch. It was almost like a one-on-one duel with other kids going on around it. Terrific.
And that Friday night game last week, you're listening and watching the game, and it's at that point where you think it's all over for Sydney, and then he just stamps his mark on the game, and whatever you're doing, you just stop and look on in awe, because there's nothing like watching Buddy rake onto that left foot and kicking those long goals.
Well, that 5 minutes where Franklin kicks those two and then Stringer up the other end kicked the one from inside the square, that is why we've got our game back, isn't it? Like, guys like you and I... I used to like to shuffle around the park and be mug amateurs. We look at things like that and we go, wow.
Mm. That's why we go.
Yep.
It's why we work covering this game. It's great. Who are you picking, Sydney or Collingwood?
I think Sydney have to win. I think, well, Collingwood have to win too, but they won't.
Yep.
When you said we should reflect on the career of, I was about to call time on Nathan Buckley, and I thought you were going just a few weeks early, but I think he's in real trouble.
Well, interestingly, I think they actually miss Cloak. I really think he straightens them up. I mean, we were saying last year, good move to get rid of him, but I really think it's been noticeable the first two rounds. They've missed him straightening them up. Interestingly, Sydney, the last two times they've been zipped two, they've made the grand final in both years, so not all over for them. I'm still bullish on picking Sydney.
Yeah, you've got to pick Sydney. And you're right, they are renowned slow starters. I don't think they wanted to cough up round one like they did against Port Adelaide, though.
Get WA's best match day footy reporting with expert analysis and breaking news every weekend in the Sunday Times.
Saturday, North Melbourne versus GWS in Hobart. GWS hasn't won in Hobart, or in Tasmania, full stop. North, 1 minute short of winning. Very stiff.
Yeah, you going to tip them?
No. I'm picking GWS. Cameron, 6 goals. Green, 5 goals last week. Probably the player Kevin Sheedy tipped him to be about 5 or 6 years ago, actually, now, Toby Green. But I can't go past GWS in this game.
Do you think Josh Kelly will be having a look at his new team?
9 years, $9 million, absolutely. Wouldn't you take it?
I don't know. I
would if I was him.
A lot of pressure on a player. I think it'll really depend on his mental makeup, I reckon, as to whether he takes it.
Also, see where they go this year. They reel off a flag. There's incentives. I don't know. You might want to hang around, make a bit of history. We'll see what happens there.
Yep, I'll be going GWS in that one.
For live match day blogs, the best footy videos and all the breaking news, head to thewest.com.au and perthnow.com.au.
The big one, the MCG Saturday, Richmond v West Coast, and one of only two chances at the G prior to finals for the Eagles.
Yeah, look, I'm going to tip West Coast, and I'm still waiting for Richmond to frank their form a little bit, and so I'm not too sure where they're at. They beat a team of Carlton kids in round one, and they beat Collingwood, who we don't think are going to play finals in round two, and they were tested by the Pies for a fair bit of that game. So one thing I'll say about West Coast, though, West Coast are leaking.
Yeah, they leak goals, don't they? Almost 200 points 2 weeks in a row. So yeah, it's a real worry, that.
And I think they've got four blokes in the midfield who aren't quick. So Mitchell and Pritis, obviously a Brownlow medalist, they're going to play. I think the writing's on the wall for one of Mark Hutchings and Dom Sheed. I don't think they can all play, because I think they struggle to close down space. They struggle to defend. And if they were to really struggle in that area against the Tigers, it wouldn't bode well for one of those last two midfielders, I reckon, for the weeks going forward.
I'm picking West Coast as well. Just on Dustin Martin, have you ever seen a better Dane Argy than he gives? And he must be loving him, Damien Hardwick, at the moment. He just goes down to the forward line and kicks goals when it counts. I'm not sure, with his cracked cheekbone, whether he wears a helmet on. I'm not sure whether he should have flown to New Zealand, though. Interesting choice that was.
Yeah, well, he's an interesting character.
he is, but very tough. So, look, well, I've got him leading the Brownlow. It's only two rounds in, but he has elevated his game even more this year. I think he's terrific.
I'll tell you who's elevated his game for West Coast, Elliot Yeo.
Yeah.
Looked a really promising mid a couple of years ago. He's had two really underwhelming years, I reckon. They've shifted him back to halfback. He looks a lot more comfortable in a set position, even though, you know, defenders play zones these days and they're guarding space rather than players. His contested marking on the weekend was an absolute feature.
It's taken as many as anyone in the comp.
Yeah, and he's a beautiful kick too, Elliot. You know, good athlete, good mark, good kick. Should be a great player, really.
There's no time to lose if you want to share in over $150,000 in prizes with the game. Footy tipping, pick seven, and draft fantasy. Sign up now and get your tips in at thegame.com.au.
Geelong v Melbourne, Etihad Stadium on Saturday. Dangerwood, Melbourne minus Lewis and Hogan. And I'm picking Geelong.
Geelong.
I would have gone Melbourne the other way if those two were playing.
Yeah, it would have been genuine 50-50 toss-up game had those blokes played. So it's probably going to be one win. This could cost Melbourne.
So on to the showdown, which is 1v2 this week. And is your boss, Craig Nitsi, going to be celebrating on Monday morning?
Mate, I'm going to tip Adelaide, and I'm going to barrack like hell for Adelaide, just because the sports editor of the West Australian, your counterpart at the West Australian, will be flat out unbearable if Port Adelaide go 3-0.
Well, he has been living the life of a Trappist monk for 3 years, and I can't shut him up today about Port Adelaide. I'm picking Adelaide as well. I think Port have been very impressive so far. Played Freo at the weekend at home. I'm not sure. Adelaide, very impressive against Hawthorn at the MCG, coming back from a deficit.
Yep.
So I like that form. I'm going with Adelaide.
For the most in-depth analysis on where the big matches were won and lost, get the game lift out every Monday in the West Australian.
Freo Doggies.
Well, there's talk that the Doggies will rest some. You'd like to see some sort of response from Freo, but where Freo are at the moment, a response is like a 20-point loss, isn't it, really? If Freo walk away from this game with a 20-point loss, they'll say, we took a step forward today. So that's where it's at, and that's what tells you who you should do.
Well, of course, the last time the Doggies did that, rested a few players, was Freo's last win. So, But I'll tell you what I like about the Dogs, is everyone has a role, and they all play it to perfection, and epitomised by Pickens' run down their length of the ground late in the last quarter last week.
Isn't he a beauty?
Oh, he is a ripper, and he's the heart and soul of that team. And I think the Western Bulldogs, everyone's got a role and they're fulfilling it at the moment, I think. On to Sunday, St Kilda v Brisbane at Etihad Stadium. And very, very stiff St Kilda, as we said.
Yep.
Hasn't Seb Ross elevated himself?
He was terrific. They were absolutely fantastic. Luke Dunstan, their midfield was terrific.
Nathan Brown for three quarters.
They should have been 30 points up at quarter time.
Yep.
And if that had been the case, this would have been a real line ball game. You felt when they were 19 points up, they kicked 6-7. West Coast had four chances, taken them all. I just had the feeling West Coast are going to win this. It might take them until the last quarter to do it, but they're going to win it. And that's exactly what happened. They hit the front at the 20-minute mark of the last.
And Brisbane, you're going to expect every week some blue-collar work ethic, which is great. They've been terrific the first two rounds. Just St Kilda, I think, will have too much polish.
There's no time to lose if you want to share in over $150,000 in prizes with the game. Footy tipping, pick seven, and draft fantasy. Sign up now and get your tips in at thegame.com.au.
Carlton v Essendon. Again, Carlton, solid for 3.5 quarters, but couldn't get the job done at the weekend.
Essendon will win.
I think so. And Gold Coast v Hawthorn. And no, Duff, I'm not declaring it's over yet. I'm going to wait till round four.
You think you can win this one, don't you?
Well, mate, look, let's be honest, there's more cracks than the San Andreas fold at the moment in Hawthorn. But look, there's still a bit to like. I'm going to wait till round four to reserve my judgment. Certainly, I don't think there's no flag going to be won this year. I think the top four is probably already beyond reach. But I'll give them time to build. Gold Coast, I just don't know what to expect. Little Gaz, there's real dramas there at the moment.
There is. I'm not sure that he wants to be there. Everyone's saying he doesn't want to be there.
He's earning plenty of money, mate. He's a professional sportsman.
Yeah, no, exactly. It's not good enough for him to say, you know, I don't want to be there. I'm not even sure. I know that Gary doesn't like taking painkillers because there's family history, obviously, with drugs with his father.
Yep.
And he's been reluctant to take painkillers, and there's a strong belief that that's affected his performance since he's had the serious shoulder injury. But at the end of the day, when you're a $1.5 million a year footballer, there are some things you've got to accept a part of your everyday life. He's 33 years old. He's a bit banged up. He needs to do whatever he can do legally to get out on the field and give his best effort, because they're paying him too much money for that not to be the case.
16 possessions is very un-Gary-like last week. And look, in his defence, he laid 5 tackles, which was as many as any Gold Coast Sun at the weekend. But
no, they weren't fierce tackles.
No, and there were some real half-hearted efforts there, some real perfunctory efforts, just not really even having a go. I thought the real half-hearted. So it's disappointing from him last week. I hope to see him answer it this Sunday against Hawthorn.
Me too. And I hope they do too, because as a club, they are really, you know, while Fremantle's in crisis, Fremantle is a strongly resourced, strongly supported club in a strong football market. Gold Coast are on the edge of a real abyss if they don't start getting this right.
I'm picking Hawks, you?
I'm picking Hawks, but I do expect, and I challenge you to do this last week, and I do fully expect it. Gold Coast gets up in this one, I want Hawks gone next week.
If Gold Coast gets up, I'll declare that.
Okay.
We'll talk to you.
We'll see you next week. I hope you enjoy your weekend, and I hope your team has a win.
The Game AFL podcast is brought to you by the West Australian and the Sunday Times, where the footy never stops. Watch the best videos and stay on the ball with breaking news and expert analysis at thewest.com.au and perthnow.com.au. This has been The Game.